Hello, lovely listeners! In today's episode, now that E3 has come and gone, it's time to jump into what was announced and shown off. You're listening to Dual Pixels Radio, but first, introductions.
I'm Jose.
What's up, I'm Joey.
I'm Rob, and we'll quickly go into what we've been playing.
Okay, I start first again. No, I mean we all know that already. I sound a bit nasally, so... Yes, excuse my nasal performance today here.
Performance.
So I've been playing Uncharted Lost Legacy, and I beat the game. Yes, I beat a game, and I feel accomplished. I haven't beat a game in a little while, so definitely feel accomplished there. And that's Uncharted. So... Uncharted Lost Legacy is with Chloe and Nadine, and those are the two side characters coming in from Uncharted 4 and Chloe coming from Uncharted 2. And I honestly thought it wouldn't work. Like, not wouldn't work, but I thought that Nathan Drake couldn't be replaced, sort of a thing. But I want to see more games with Chloe now. That's how good Naughty Dog delivered with making her character very believable and giving her own strengths and struggles. And yeah, the game was paced very, very perfectly. Don't get me wrong, like, I love long games, but this one was paced, I would say, about, you could beat the game in about 6 to 8 hours. And there's this big area at the very beginning. I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's this big area at the beginning. And once you get past that big area, you know, it just starts rolling. It's pretty much, again, like a summer blockbuster. Like Uncharted 2, I would assume. I would put it at the top of my list in terms of Uncharted. So I've been playing that, like, religiously because, you know, I beat it. I played some of the multiplayer as well. And Uncharted multiplayer is so freaking, so mindless, and that's why I like it. Like, it's very, very mindless, and I don't put my headset on, so, you know, I don't get any sort of, like, shit talkers or anything like that. I wish I would. I wish people sent me, hate mail for being good at the game. I don't know, that's
you
just
want hate mail?
Kind of, because in Street Fighter, I used to get it. I used to get it, like, a lot in Street Fighter and in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 when I was playing those. But I haven't been playing Street Fighter in a while. And I also miss costumes in Street Fighter. So, yeah, I do kind of miss the hate mail. Like, oh, you suck. You're cheating. Use another
play,
gun or something.
Play Overwatch. You get enough hate mail there.
That's true. Yeah. I guess, but then I have to play Overwatch again, and I'm not doing that. So, yeah, I would love to get more hate mail. So if you guys want to play me, my PSN is Tribal24. Open invitation to come play me. But yeah, that's all I've been playing. And like I mentioned, I missed Ryu's Ghost and Goblins outfit in Street Fighter V, which I'm pissed at again. I already missed 3 costumes now.
Well, they did announce 3 more, 4 more, 5 more costumes.
Yes, yes, yes. I know that. Yeah, it's the Devil May Cry costumes and Cammy.
Yes, and the best part is the Devil May Cry ones you can actually out and out buy. So I will be buying Dante as soon as I can.
Yeah, but come on. I have the fight money for it. It's practically free. And
well, you have the fight money, so you can use it for other stuff.
Yes, yes.
Like trying to get Cammy's Cannon Spike costume.
Yes, yes. Which they did announce as well.
It was a glorious costume for Laura.
Yeah. So I did miss those costumes, and I'm pretty pissed. You see, this is why I have to keep up with Street Fighter V, and I haven't been playing it. So maybe I'll get hate mail. Maybe I should play Street Fighter V more to just get hate mail and get costumes. But moving on. Moving on, Uncharted 4, I mean Uncharted Lost Legacy, I keep mentioning the two hand in hand, just because they both look graphically good. They're both graphically good and graphically sound, and I can't wait for The Last of Us 2 as well. That's the Naughty Dog, so I just want to mention that in there. But yeah, that's all I've been playing. Just Uncharted Lost Legacy. Again, if anybody wants to play me, open invitation. I want hate mail, or I want to send you hate mail through PSN hate messages. Oh, like, I, you know, stop using the gun, you noob, or something like that. Like, come on. I want something like that. So, yeah, that's all I've been playing. Joey, what have you been playing? I mean, it's not as exciting as yours. It's not going to be as exciting.
Hey, mine's relatively exciting. So, two games on the Switch, Fallout Shelter, which has been on everything else for, I don't know, like a year or two, it feels like.
Well, it came out on the PS4.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, it's been out for a little bit, but, that's like the kind of resource building sim, and, it's a pretty good game, but, I mean, it's only as interesting as you think those types of games are.
It's a mobile game.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like it, 100%. I'd kind of just rather play it on an iPad. I don't know why. Just easier to see everything. And sometimes when I try to use the... Because you don't have to use a touch screen, but it's just, like, native just because it feels like a mobile game. So, like, its first thing is to try to move it with your finger. And it works, but sometimes it doesn't work well. I don't know if that has to do with the touch screen on the system or just Fallout Shelter, but, yeah. It's still fun, and they've added quite a bit to it since it first came out. So you can do quests now, which is pretty cool. You get to send three of your characters out and control them while they're out, which is pretty neat. Besides that, I've been playing something also pretty old, Pokemon Go. I'm not sure why I started playing this game again.
I mean, you're getting ready.
Pokemon Let's Go hype.
Yeah, Pokemon Let's Go like, hype, and you're ready for it.
It was like shortly before that, though. I was like, I feel like I should download this, and I just didn't. And then, yeah, I guess that kind of did spark it again. But it's fun. I don't know why, because it's pretty straightforward, but I don't know. It's fun. Got my wife playing it, and she's stoked. When we go to yoga, we have it open and get all the 5 Pokestops that are on the way. So that's always fun. Besides that, just a little bit of Battlefield 1. It's decent. I'm glad I got it for, I think, like $12 or whatever it was. But those types of games seem to die pretty quickly online on PC. Just I think there's just so much to play online otherwise.
Well, that and Overwatch, like you said.
Well, yeah, but I mean... Overwatch is on PS4 as well. There's actually a pretty healthy community for Battlefield PS4 as well as Battlefield 4 on PS4, which is surprising.
But yeah, and all the other Battlefields, online as well.
Yeah, but like those, they just don't stick around that long on PC.
It's the same with the Call of Duties. It does happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I just got that. I mean, I just felt the urge to play a Battlefield game, and it's a pretty decent game. I see people's complaints with it, but it's not bad. And yeah, that's it. Fun stuff.
No Overwatch, right?
Oh, actually, Overwatch update. Oh. I deleted that game like 2 months ago.
Whoa.
The meta recently was straight garbage with Bridget, or however you pronounce her name. She's just that garbage character. She was so OP. And it wasn't just like people in like the platinum range where I am right now. But I mean, throughout, you know, people that were like in Diamond, Grandmaster, like everybody, you'd have to play her or you lose.
Stupid. So you mean to tell me we haven't known that you deleted Overwatch in 2 months?
That's right. It was my little secret. But yeah, I legit like... uninstall, bam, I haven't played it since.
Like, I want to clap right now very, very loudly. And I want to send you a birthday cake not a birthday cake, a celebration cake. And we can, put up a banner. Like,
I mean, to be honest, I've...
intervention off.
Any game I've played since, I've never got remotely as angry as I ever did playing Overwatch. Life's so much better without it right now. I mean, I might, you know, upload it for, like, events and stuff just to mess around, but that game's just aggravating. Between people throwing or usually just people throwing, it's just super annoying. Smurf accounts don't help either, but
Why
do people have Smurf?
What's a Smurf account?
So like your main account's in like Grandmaster or Diamond, and you're sure super good, but you throw your placement games so you place lower so you win more games.
Oh.
Super annoying. Because a skill gap from someone in like Grandmaster and Gold or Diamond or Platinum or whatever is way different.
Look at that. I didn't even know that existed in Overwatch.
Yep, it's super annoying.
That's called putting yourself in the loser's bracket in the fighting game tournaments. So you can purposely play, you know, someone worse and just move on to winners.
I mean, it's pretty obvious to tell because, like, in Platinum, like, it's probably about average, like, right in the middle of average, maybe a tiny bit above. But you can tell just by, like, everybody kind of plays about the same. Nobody's, like, that insanely good. But then there's somebody that literally never dies and kills everybody all the time. Like, oh, yeah, you're a Smurf, you know.
And wait, and who are they playing? Bridget?
They're usually playing characters they aren't super good with, but are still better than anybody else who's playing anyway. So, like, they'll play, like, say, Hanzo if they never play Hanzo. Because, like, that's the thing, too. Like, you can never really play a character you want. Somewhere either A, auto-locks it in, or B, complains about the quote-unquote meta going on. So you're kind of forced into who you can play right now. Like, if you look at, like, the percentage of, like, time played, the top 500, it's, like, you know, six characters, and that's it. Like, if you deviate from that, you pretty much always lose.
Wow, that's interesting.
Enough Overwatch. Look what you guys did to me.
He's about to go reinstall it right now.
Rob, what have you been playing?
See, well, I kind of got, like, after watching Sony's conference, I kind of got the urge to play Bloodborne again. Cause it was like 3 years since I played it. It was, like, June, July of 2015. And I got to Murgo's Wet Nurse, which is, like, one of the last bosses. And then I couldn't beat her, so I decided to go and try to find the secret content. And then I got stuck on one of the secret bosses, Martyr Logarius. And I kind of just stopped there, and I just never came back to it. So I was just like, you know what? I'm in the mood for that a Soulsborne game, since Dark Souls Remastered just did not do anything for me. So I was like, yeah, let me play it. And like, I got through, and I finally was able to play the DLC, which I didn't get to do before. So I got through most of it, actually, within a week. I beat the main game. I got the quote-unquote good ending. The only thing I didn't do is get all of the weapons in the DLC and fight a secret boss in the DLC. But everything else I did. Like, I fought all the other secret bosses in the main game. I leveled up my weapon, the Kirkhammer, the +10. And I was using one of the DLC weapons as, like, my alternate. And, like, it went super, super smooth. Like, I had some problems in the beginning, but I went for pretty much an all-strength build. So it was just, like, I think by the end, I was, like, at strength was at, like, 52, health was, like, at 35, and vitality was at 25.
You see, I barely, like, stay out of, like, when having, like, character class, I barely build a strength sort of character. So I feel like I'm missing out in terms of, like, overpowering the enemy. In that sense, like, I always, like, get myself, like, purposely so I can use, like, other abilities, like vitality. But, you know, being a vitality build, it takes you longer to actually kill a monster, so it's not worth it.
Yeah, yet. Like, straight-up vitality is, I don't think, is as useful. I mean, you can, because, like, there's different stuff, too. Like, in Dark Souls 3, I was more of a dexterity build than anything else. So that made it a little bit easier. It's just that with the weapon I chose, the Kirkhammer, its main attack is, like, kind of a short sword that attacks pretty quickly. And I can usually do 5 or 6 hits with that. And then, like, I plug the sword into, like, the hammer part in my back. Whenever it's transformed, and then it does way more damage that way, but it's a lot slower. So I think it's since it's more of a primarily strength weapon, I think that's what kind of helped out a lot. But yeah, like I said, with Dark Souls, I did a lot more more of a dexterity build. I don't normally prefer out-and-out strength builds, but I just kind of did this because it was a lot easier. I didn't know what else to put my points into, so I was like, eh. Vitality and stamina and health, whatever, and strength. So pretty easy. I wouldn't say pretty easy, but like mixed in, like having played Dark Souls 3 after, and then like Monster Hunter, it made dodging stuff a lot easier. I think my recent Bloodborne playthrough.
Well,
I wouldn't say it was easier, because I still died a hell of a lot, but it was...
Monster Hunter is like Bloodborne light.
Yeah, it is, and Bloodborne tends to be a lot faster paced than Monster Hunter. Because like, once you are in the middle of a swing, like, you're pretty much... You know, you're going to do that swing. It's going to take you a while to do it, but you're going to do that swing. But, like, I Bloodborne just hit just really well. Like, I was able to, like, jump back into it with, like, no problems. I didn't continue on with my character. I started a brand new one. Still use Kirkhammer. But, yeah, it was a lot easier. And after that, I decided to kind of play a little bit of... Go back to... I guess not really back to, but start playing Pokemon Ultra Sun. I got Moon when that came out, and then when the Ultra games came out, I got Ultra Sun, and I kind of like I started to play it a little bit like a few months ago, and it just didn't click with me. But I started to play it the other night because I couldn't go to sleep. I was like, all right, it's working a little better. I'm still like early on, but it's scratching the itch a little better now, especially since like with Pokemon Let's Go. Not going to be the same type of game when that comes out, so I have a little bit more time. One of these days, I'm actually going to make a living Pokedex. One of these days, before I get bored.
Wait, a what?
A living Pokedex. It's basically where you catch your Pokedex has like all the Pokemon, and like as you know, the new games come out and adding new Pokemon, you can kind of slowly add to it.
Oh, I thought there was some sort of a Pokedex device that you were gonna do, living Pokedex.
I guess technically it is alive because in Ultra, like Sun and Moon and Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, the Pokedex is inhabited with a Rotom.
Oh yeah.
So technically, it is a living Pokedex. But well, I mean, it's a ghost type, but whatever. But no, like that's one of my like my goals I wanted to do. At some point, is like catch like all the Pokemon in a generation and keep on adding to it, going into other generations. But I always get kind of bored after a little while because it's a lot of grinding.
That sounds like me, like trying to get a platinum trophy on any game that's not Tekken. That's the only all.
Well, some games are easier.
Tekken
but,
6 and Tekken 7 are the only games I ever got platinum trophies on. And doing a living Pokedex is me trying to get a platinum trophy at any other game. So, yeah. I wouldn't do it.
Trying to get a platinum trophy in Kingdom Hearts 1 HD Remix. And I kind of almost got there. I think I'm like on the PS3 version, like 3 or 4 trophies away from getting a platinum. But I'd still have to spend like hours doing it. But yeah, that's it. And I've been playing some stuff here and there, but nothing else worth mentioning. Alright, so let's go ahead and dive into the conferences.
Yes, the aftermath.
Yes, we're not going to talk about Devolver Digital, because even though it was fun, they didn't really announce too many big stuff. And we're not going to do the PC Gaming Show, because frankly, no one watched it. Right. So that's fine. It's fine. So we will start off with what I would consider the worst conference. Not terrible, but probably the worst conference that we had this year.
It was pretty bad.
It's going to be EA. And they also started us off, too, with the first conference on Saturday morning or afternoon, whatever.
Yes, it was afternoon, I think.
I think it was afternoon for most
areas.
But yeah, they showed exactly what everyone expected.
Yep.
They had their plethora of sports games, FIFA, Madden, NBA Live. Did they show NBA Live?
I think for a split second there. No NHL, of course, by the way.
No, but they announced that today, actually.
Yeah. Exciting.
I don't know why they didn't, announce it with all the other
ones. Yeah, they should have announced it on EA, and then they should have had a longer trailer for today during the NHL Awards, but they didn't do it that way, so.
Well, I guess they did focus a lot on FIFA, like the World Cup and stuff.
What else is new?
Yeah. What else is new with FIFA and Madden?
Yeah, but it is kind of like they release it every year, so. And I know they want to get. That's their bigger sellers, but it's kind of like.
Yeah.
Do you really need to spend this much time discussing them?
Yep, exactly.
I don't know. That's just me as someone who doesn't play sports games.
I play sports games, but I mean.
It's
just have
every once a year or twice a year.
That's all I need to do. I don't know. I usually buy them on Black Friday, get them for half off, but. I don't know. I mean, it's a sports game. What are you going to do?
Okay. And then they also showed off a little bit more of Battlefield 5. And they announced Battle Royale for Battlefield 5. A Battle Royale.
Surprise!
Mode. Well, of course they
did. Yeah, I know. Yay!
Yeah!
And they also had no info on it.
No.
They were like trying to piece it together. Like, oh, it's only going to be like a 20-person Battle Royale.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like how Call of Duty did it. They just like, hey, we're in a battle royale. Okay. Any info? Nope.
It seems like it's the easiest thing for something like Call of Duty and Battlefield to do.
To a certain number, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, we have all these models and everything, the maps. We can just change some stuff around and it's an extra mode.
Yeah. Another back-of-the-box thing you could put on there.
Mm-hmm. That's true. They also showed a little bit of Star Wars.
Just talked about it, though.
Yeah, because Vince Zampanella announced the name of Respawn's Star Wars game, which is what? Star Wars?
The Last Order, or no?
Lost Order?
Lost Order?
Something like that. I don't know, it was just so, hey, here's the name. All right, here's no information.
It was so awkward.
I just wanted to tell you the name. No logo, no nothing.
It's a Star Wars, yeah, That's their whole selling point.
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah,
I mean, you could tell it was obviously, 3 years out at least, or, something drastic like that.
I mean, they should start focusing more on Battlefront 2. That's what they need to do.
Well, I mean, they had a good bit of info on that, too, of things that are changing and how they messed up. And
yeah, and they did show off some new content with Grievous, Obi-Wan, Anakin, and...
Well, I didn't even watch EA's conference, to be honest. That's the one I missed. I only saw the Anthem bits. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, the Star Wars Battlefront stuff, they should just be working on that. They shouldn't be announcing new Star Wars games, I feel. I feel like they should just, get Battlefront to the place that it should have been.
Yeah.
Before all this loot box stuff.
So you said you saw Anthem. What did you think of it?
Oh, I like the idea. I like the idea with the whole flying and doing missions. Obviously, it's very Destiny-like. It's a good thing.
Well, it's Destiny with a little bit more exploration.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
It's a good thing, but it's a wait and see. It's a wait and see for me, only because the only mechanic that I like is the flying, and the classes are very Destiny-like. So, it's going to be very similar to Destiny, and I hope they add more content, or just focus on it the way they would focus on Madden, or something. It's EA. So.
I don't know if that was a good...
No, what about FIFA? I guess FIFA.
I mean, FIFA definitely gets all the changes because it makes the most money.
Yeah.
But I thought Anthem. Yeah, I thought Anthem was.
BioWare.
I love the idea, but it didn't look. I don't know. It kind of looked a bit sterile. I've read a lot of like hands-on where...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I read a lot of hands-on where people said, like, oh, yeah, I wasn't really feeling it watching it, but actually getting your hands on it, it felt great, so maybe it's just one of those games, but it didn't show that well to me.
Yeah, it... Because I... Like, looking at the... Even, like, the gameplay, I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
There's just, like, combo all over the screen.
And numbers flying everywhere in 2 seconds.
And people flying. That's what I saw. That's what I, like, took out of, like, all the video that they showed was just you flying around and exploring, which is great, but you know what makes it real, like, shaky for me? That BioWare is making it. They haven't been themselves lately, so that's what really,
well,
like,
I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like Anthem is what they've taken a lot of resources for, and that's what, and you can kind of tell by the way it looks, is like it's going to be like a huge budget,
yeah,
huge game, and so like they pulled a lot of people for it,
mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like that's what killed Andromeda and what kind of killed Mass Effect 3 a little bit. I think by then they were starting to plan Anthem. At least that's my rationale for them.
Yeah.
Is that they were developing this game and they're like, oh, we're going to pull people.
Yeah. I mean,
make it big and bombastic.
Pretty likely, for sure. I mean, I hope it turns out. I'd love to play it. Good idea, and just got to see how it turns out.
Yeah, it's definitely a great idea, and it could be a better Destiny. Like, you know, it's a wait and see. It's a wait and see.
Yep, and that's that for EA.
Yes,
yes.
That was the most boring conference out of all.
Did it have two indies that look pretty cool? Unravel 2, which actually came out, in Sea of Solitude. But yeah, besides that, I thought they would show more gameplay of anything, but.
Yeah, well, EA's conference overall was just, like,
yeah,
talking heads and, like, less about the developers, like, saying, hey, you know, this is the game that we're working
mm-hmm.
on.
Yep.
We hope you like it.
Yep. Exactly.
Which is kind of like the almost the opposite of Ubisoft. But we'll get to that.
Yep.
All right, let's go into Bethesda. Go ahead and do another third party. And they started off the show with their awkward Rage 2 opener.
Well, Rage 2...
The whole Andrew W.K. singing thing.
Rage is
no
an awkward game.
No one was into it. The audience was not into it.
Rage is just an awkward game. That's...
Not that awkward, though.
I mean, yeah, it is. Like, the first teaser that they showed was kind of obnoxious and... You know, I was going for obnoxious with the Andrew W.K. music and the colors, so...
Well, I think they're trying to go for a look, but it's coming off as disingenuous. Like, it's like they're trying to be, like, all punk with it. You can't see I air-quoted, but they're trying to be all punk with it. But it's coming off as corporate punk, where it's like, you know, we know what it's... People like it like this.
Oh, you're saying that Borderlands is more genuine because that's
slightly more genuine.
Yeah, that's like, the comparison I would give with Rage.
It's slightly more genuine because it feels like it's more natural, and like because I like the first Rage. The first Rage was fun. I mean, obviously there's comparisons with Borderlands because it's like a desolate kind of like wasteland type of area. But for some reason, like, with Rage 2, like, they're trying to, like, pump up the aesthetic to be something different, and it doesn't feel like it really matches as well. I don't know. That's just kind of me.
And then, what else did they also showed, well, you called this one. Doom Eternal.
Mm-hmm.
You called this one, Rob.
Yes. Well, I didn't call it. I wanted it. No, I think I actually called it the opposite. I was like, no, it's too early for a Doom.
Yeah, because I called
it. I mean, I guess they still haven't shown anything.
Check the
off,
tapes, but... I called it.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if you go back to our previous episode.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Yeah, somebody called
and it. And
everybody
said, it's too early.
Well,
like,
Rob, you dreamed up the whole scenario on the trailer.
Yeah.
And yeah, it came out exactly how you dreamed it up with the logo and all that. So,
It was like the logo, but it was still a good teaser because like they showed the, you know, the Doom Slayer and like all these enemies and stuff like that, and it was a good. Because like this E3 had like a lot of teasers for stuff coming in the future, but it was a good enough teaser that kind of got you into it, and it showed enough, even though none of it was gameplay, but it showed you kind of enough of what to expect. In like the sequel. So I guess it's gonna. I wager it's probably gonna come out next May. They're gonna show off more at QuakeCon.
When is QuakeCon anyway? Do you know?
August.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, there's so many conferences that we don't remember them off the top of our heads. It's just so much.
Well, it's not even like a conference, it's just kind of a thing.
It technically is. Like, yeah, BlizzCon. And
I think it's in Dallas. That one's in Dallas, and I think BlizzCon's in Vegas.
Yeah, and then moving on, so that's Doom. You predicted that one, Joey or Rob. And then they finally showed off Fallout 76.
Yes.
What do you...
I instantly lost any interest in it.
Did you really?
Really?
Yes.
Because I thought it was pretty interesting.
Me too.
I thought that the way they're taking it, as in anyone could join sort of a thing, and it doesn't mess with your single player stuff. Like, that's a good way to think about a single-player game turning into a multiplayer. That's the perfect way. That's a perfect analogy. Like, multiplayer doesn't mess with anything that you do in your campaign. So, and you could continue doing missions. So, I feel like that's great because it gives single-player games an edge. And it doesn't make the developer split the multiplayer into another, like, team or section sort of a thing.
No, this is basically Fallout Online.
Yeah.
This is absolutely Fallout
Online. It's Fallout Online. But it's...
And they say, like, the thing, like, you can still play it solo, but it's meant for multiplayer. Like, you can play, like, for instance, Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes solo, but you're not going to have any fucking fun. And, like, all the fun is going to be playing with other people. And while it's cool, it's not.
We don't know that yet, though.
I'm not interested.
Like, I feel like this might be good. Now, it all depends on the difficulty tweaking. Like, how it works in terms of balance. Enemy balance and quest balance.
How they deal with griefers, too. Because people are going to be griefing like crazy in that game.
Yeah, especially with like the whole
nuke thing. Yeah, for sure.
I don't even know if I'm saying it right.
I found it interesting.
I thought it was a cool change. I know everybody didn't want it, but I don't know.
I mean, like it seemed like people were interested in it, and it's nice that they're essentially trying something new.
Yeah.
Because like what I've always wanted was like a Fallout or an Elder Scrolls game where you can actually co-op with another person, and like. Have them kind of join your game, you can join their game, and like they have their gear and stuff like that.
This is it.
But it's not though.
It's not. it's a multiplayer focused game.
Yeah.
With single player, it sounds a lot like Elder Scrolls Online. Actually, this is Elder Scrolls Online. They just dropped the online part.
Yeah, I mean we'll see. You know.
Yeah.
I think it's a. I mean, I guess it's kind of risky in a way for them, but yeah, that'd be cool if they pulled it off.
Well, it seemed like they got a lot of interest in it.
Yeah.
So. See how well it does. Yeah. But I do like this whole thing that they're doing with their Elder Scrolls games, like announcing it earlier in the year and releasing it that year. Because they did the same thing with Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess technically Fallout Shelter, but it's what. And they also showed off some DLC for Prey.
Which everybody's saying is pretty good.
Yeah.
I watched a couple of streams.
I like how they turned Prop Hunt into a DLC mode. Like the Steam or the Gary's Mod game Prop Hunt to a mode for Prey. I mean, it makes sense.
Seems like that's how it always happens, right?
Huh?
Seems like that's how it always happens. Something's a mod and turns into something.
That's true. That's how Dota started.
Yeah. I mean, you can go on and on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
PUBG, Fortnite, yeah. All those.
But yeah, it makes sense, and it seems like it's fun, and it's cool that Arcane?
Arcane,
yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Is putting like all this effort and stuff into the game, because I know it didn't sell as well as it'd like, but they're still kind of putting stuff out there for people who like the game. And then they also announced, two mobile type games. They have Elder Scrolls Legends, which is a card game.
Mm-hmm.
They said they're revamping that one, and they also announced Elder Scrolls Blades.
Well, which is, those are also releasing on consoles, so.
Yeah, but it seems like the primary focus is mobile on those. Just like with Fallout Shelter, it seems like those are on consoles now too, but it feels like the goal was for mobile.
You guys excited?
Eh.
Yeah, it's whatever. Like, Elder Scrolls Legends, I will play on the Switch, though.
Yeah, if they're on the Switch, I'll definitely play them. I don't know. I just play everything on the Switch that I can.
Yeah. Card games, I will play on the Switch.
It's just, for me, like, I can't get into, like, all card games. Like, if there was a Magic the Gathering game or a Yu-Gi-Oh game for Switch that actually is a card game, yes, I'd play those. If there's a Pokemon TCG game for the Switch, I would absolutely play that. But it's just, some games, like, I don't know, they just do not click with me.
Yeah.
Like, Hearthstone took a long time for that to click. And they also showed off, well, teased. Tease is a proper term.
Yeah, that's very proper.
There are two games that are going to be coming out in probably 4 years. If we're lucky.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Starfield, which is their first original IP. Because everything else they've quote-unquote come up with has been owned by other people. And all I'm hoping for that one is, like, Fallout, Elder Scrolls in space. All I want, like, a sci-fi Elder Scrolls.
So you're probably going to get an online survival game.
No.
So that's what's happening. Yeah.
Battle Royale. No.
Battle Royale, yeah.
Yeah, right.
That definitely
a Fallout Battle like Royale would be pretty cool, though.
Yeah. Who knows? It might be in Fallout 76.
Who knows? That's the perfect question.
And then again, Starfield could be the No Man's Sky we never got.
No, I never thought of it like that. Well, awesome. No Man's Sky is turning around, so.
Yeah. It's like it just took a while. And then the other game they showed off was Elder Scrolls 6.
Well, they didn't show it all.
And it was fucking nothing. It was mountains.
Yep.
Yeah, it was the exact same logo stuff you were talking about on last week's episode.
Like, I'm cool with, like, them showing off or, like, announcing games that are coming out in the future. Like, that's cool. You know, not everything has to be out within a year. That's fine. And obviously, they're gonna take their time with Elder Scrolls. That's fine. I'm not expecting it out, like, you know, next year.
Oh, no. This
but
one's
a little something.
This one's definitely
like, showing
PS5
off, like,
release.
Maybe, like, a structure or something. No, fucking mountains.
No, it was, this one's definitely like PS5 release, or next gen release.
It'll be absolutely next gen, which is, I mean, like I said, which is fine. Like, I think some people were upset that it's like, all they did was show logos. Some things are okay. Like the Doom one was fine because it was a little bit more than just a logo. Yeah, I kind of would have liked if it was like Elder Scrolls 6, something.
Yeah, it's kind of to be expected, though.
Yeah. They should have done, like, Elder Scrolls 6, then showed a horse with horse armor, saying, like, free of charge, you know, included for free, sort of a thing.
I that actually reminds me, I did like how they poke fun of themselves throughout the whole conference. Between, Elder Scrolls for Amazon's Alexa, which actually came out.
Yeah, I know, which is actually a thing, which is weird.
Yeah, and then the whole, like, laughing at Walmart's leaks.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of cool. Like, they're poking fun at themselves. I like it. Alrighty, and then we'll do Squares now, since they really didn't really show anything. Well, they showed some Shadow of the Tomb Raider gameplay, which was actually really nice.
Yeah, I actually liked it too.
It took a little while of it, which was cool.
That's not my Tomb Raider, though.
Yes.
We know.
I'm one of those people, yes. Not my Tomb Raider. Hashtag, not my Tomb Raider.
I mean, I like the other two games well enough. They're not, like, amazing, but they're okay. I'm not, like, waiting for the latest one to drop, but I'm like, all right, I'll get it. Get it whenever. And they also showed off some Monster Hunter World stuff coming to Final Fantasy XIV, which was Palico and Rathalos, I think?
It was
Rathalos or Rathian?
It was Behemoth.
Showing up.
Was it?
No, Behemoth is showing up in Monster Hunter World.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Why is Final Fantasy XV still a thing? Like
14.
Oh, 14. It was 14. Oh. Wrong one. Oof. I keep thinking of 15.
Because 14 actually still has quite a bit of players. Like they turned that game around with the whole Realm Reborn thing.
That has to be one of the biggest turnarounds, for sure.
Well, Street Fighter V.
They salvaged that game.
But I mean, Final Fantasy, didn't they stop they shut the servers down from the old one, it was so bad, and then they redid all this?
Well, they killed off. They pretty much did it part of the story too, where a big meteor
rebooted their own game.
Yeah. A big meteor just hit the old game and bam, this Realm Reborn came out. And you had new characters and they rebooted their own. They pretty much did what do you call it? Like the Big Bang? Or when the dinosaurs died? Big meteor?
Theoretically, yeah.
Yes, theoretically.
Well, that's not the Big Bang, though. That's different.
I know, but it kind of like that. Like, oh, we're rebooting this sort of a thing. Let's kill off everybody with a huge meteor. So.
Well, it paid off, so.
Yeah, I don't even know why I keep mentioning Final Fantasy 15, and it was 14. But yeah, Final Fantasy 15. Yeah, I'm done with Final Fantasy 15, seeing it everywhere. I want them to move on. But that's another topic. That's for another show. So
yeah, they didn't really show anything of 15, which was actually kind of nice. They did show off Dragon Quest XI. That comes out September, I think.
Yes, and in English.
Yes, on PS4. Allegedly, the Switch version is coming later. I don't know why they just didn't port the 3DS version to Switch, but whatever. That's their thing. They can do what they want. I feel by the time we get it, it'll be too late anyway for Switch.
Well, yeah, it's a niche. It's Dragon Quest has always been a niche, so.
Yeah, but then again, who knows? It might sell well because of the portability of the Switch. Then people will be like, well, okay. It'll probably get people to double dip, and they know it.
Yeah, so Dragon...
And let's see what else. Yes. Oh, The Quiet Man, which was a super awkward trailer.
Yeah, that was a weird trailer. Yeah, that was weird.
I'm kind of interested, though.
I'm interested, too, because it reminds me of The Bouncer, kind of. Just that it could be linked to that in terms of, maybe mechanics. We know it's some sort of brawler. But, yeah, that trailer was very awkward. Just very...
Yeah.
Very, what do you call it? FMV movie, game sort of a thing.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going for is the story plays out with real actors and then it goes into highly, quote unquote, highly detailed fight sequences with character models. A bit odd, but I guess it's a wait and see on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And they also showed off same trailer that that Microsoft had the day before, which was the Frozen trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3, which, alright. They also announced a whole bunch of other stuff too, I think right after that. Not a whole bunch of stuff. They just announced the Collector's Edition, whatever.
So not really much there. Kingdom Hearts 3 is finally got a release date. It's coming out January 29th. Yes.
Everything's fucking coming out in January.
Yes. First it was September, now we're moving on to January, where everything is coming out. So,
yeah. Well, September is crowded, and January is crowded. January is the new November.
Yeah, but at least Kingdom Hearts 3 is finally coming out, so at least we get that. So, yeah, I think that's, like, the more important parts of Square's conference. And then we move on to Yubi, which was one of the better conferences.
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
I think honestly, it was. I'd probably say it was my favorite conference, just because they actually showed off gameplay. They had the developers talk about it. The musical interlude with Grant Kirkhope for the Mario and Rabbids DLC was actually really cool. And that one guy saying, or the one dev saying, "We nailed it" at the end of the Beyond Good and Evil 2. Like, thing was actually super awesome.
Yeah. Some of the footage that they showed off for Beyond Good and Evil looks, like, freaking amazing.
They just need to release it as a movie. I don't even want it as a game. They should just release it as a movie. It looks amazing.
Yeah, need to release it. Cool. Who knows when that's coming out, right?
You know what? I'd rather it be, like, some sort of thing that doesn't come out like The Last Guardian.
Great.
I want them to take their sweet-ass time with it. I just want to see what they come up with, because right now it looks really dope. But you're right, Rob. Maybe a movie would work for it.
Because, I mean, it looks like everything they've shown off, even like from like last year and the year before and stuff, it was like, it looks amazing. And even if they don't release it as an actual game, releasing it as a movie, I think, would still be a good idea. But then again, like, those kind of movie tie-in games, or game tie-in movies, don't really do too well.
No, not usually.
No, but who knows? It could probably be a good movie. So, yeah. But they showed off that. I thought that looked great. They showed off the Division 2 a little bit more as well. And also, the Division 2, obviously, everybody gets the gist of it already. We mentioned it a lot in the previous podcast, so...
The Division 2 or just the Division?
Just the Division 2 in general. Yeah. You know, you already know what to expect from it. Because they're focusing they're focusing more on fans' critiques, so... We'll, you know, we'll get to see
like
that.
Like I said, that's why I liked Ubi's conferences. Like, they actually... Mm-hmm. Seems like they wanted to make their games better.
Well,
and the one good thing about the Ubi one is they didn't have that stupid awkward ass like group speak that the Microsoft trailer had. I think that was a huge plus. I was expecting that for the Ubi one, the same exact trailer, but no, they showed some other stuff, which was nice.
Well, they also showed off Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which
looks awesome.
Yeah, it definitely looks awesome. I'm just kind of tired of seeing Assassin's Creed go anywhere else but Japan or China. So that's why I'm.
They already had a China.
Yes. I know. It was mentioned before, but what the heck? Why are they gonna do? So this one is set in ancient Greece. So yeah,
it's a perfect compliment to Assassin's Creed, though.
But still, come on, China and Japan. It's perfect, that's a lot of. Come on, you're like fucking with us now, like, you know, just naming it Assassin's Creed and not having it in China or Japan. Okay, that's another thing. It does look awesome, though. I give it that. It looks awesome.
Yeah, and it's cool. You can choose between two characters. That's cool.
Yep.
Yes, okay. And another thing. So you could change between two characters, and they're also using Greek. Actors.
Oh, really?
Yes, voice actors. And I find that very, very great, because I'm tired of hearing Nolan North and Travis Barker, you know, in games.
Travis.
Travis Barker. He's not...
I'd love to hear Travis Barker in
games. No. They're all, like, I could pinpoint them now in games. So.
No, but what's his name? Travis, it's not Travis Barker.
It's, what's...
Is he... They're in a. They have a YouTube series too.
Wait, did I just name the Blink 182 guy Travis?
You did.
Yes, you did. I did. Okay.
That's why I said I'd love to hear it.
Yeah. So.
I
did just name him. Okay.
Yep.
Travis Parker.
No, I don't think it's.
No, not Travis. Hold on, I'm looking it up.
No,
Troy Baker.
Troy Baker.
Troy Baker. Yes, and it's Travis Parker from Blink 182. Like, I don't know how I got that confused, but.
I know that was pretty funny.
I can see because they're both Travis Parker, Troy Baker. Troy Baker. I can see that.
Yes. I can see how you use them. I'm tired of Troy Baker, and I'm tired of Nolan North. So yeah, that's good that they're using Greek voice actors. So
that is cool.
Yeah, it's giving it's giving it its own, not unique because it's they're actually like playing by the rules of these are Greek actors, these are Greek characters. So not playing by the rules, but just making it as authentic as possible. So
yeah, it's appreciated.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's a biggie right there. Last but not least, with Yubi, they announce Starlink, Battle for Atlas, and that's gonna feature Star Fox.
Yes, obviously for the Switch version.
Yes, for the Nintendo Switch version. That's pretty good. But,
yeah, it's like a kind of like a Toys for Life thing, but apparently like you don't actually need the toys. But actually, it looks good.
I don't know. That was a question.
It looks kind of fun.
Huh? That didn't sound as confident. It looks good, the way you said it.
Well, because I guess I'm a little bit cynical with a lot of these Toys for Life things, where it's Disney Infinity was kind of .
Yeah, I got burnt by Disney Infinity. I really thought the Marvel ones that were.
I
kind of
the second Skylanders game. That was pretty much it. But this actually looks fun, because it looks like, I don't want to say this again, but it does look a little bit like a Saturday morning cartoon version of No Man's Sky. Because they have the characters themselves, the pilots are pretty different in terms of their design and stuff. And the way they kind of are animated and the way they talk feels kind of like a Saturday morning cartoon. So it looks really fun. And then having Star Fox is the added bonus.
Yeah, all in all, Yubi was pretty solid, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it.
They actually showed games, which is, actually kind of went into, their games, which is kind of an issue a little bit I had with Microsoft. And speaking of which, let's go into Microsoft. They basically showed, 50 trailers and really only talked in depth about maybe two or three of them.
Yeah.
They started off the show with showing off a trailer for Halo Infinite, and I got nothing from it. I don't know what's going on.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah. It's here's Halo. And the whole time I was are they going to talk about it, or nope. Just here's a whole bunch of shit. I mean, it was fine, I guess, to let people know that it was coming. It feels like it's not going to be out until
it's going to be a while. It has to be.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be Xbox 2 launch title or something.
Is that what it's going to be called, Xbox 2?
No, I'm just saying. I don't know what to call it.
Going with video game 2, naming convention
Xbox,
now.
Xbox 4? Xbox 180? No, 960. I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, whatever.
And the next box. Let's call it next box.
That works.
And then they showed off Forza Horizon 4, which seems to be taking some cues from Test Drive Unlimited. Basically kind of an MMO-ish type of racer. Which is cool, I guess. I don't know. I haven't really played any of the Forza Horizon games.
I mean, they're always solid, so.
Yeah, they're always... Yeah. Good games. What's really great about the Horizon series that I find is always the image quality. It's always top notch.
They always look amazing.
Yeah, they always look amazing. So I give it that. I really don't like about the Forza series in general? They're just coming out way too frequently.
Yeah, it's a well, a Forza game comes out every year. But yeah, like
Horizon, then Motorsport.
Between Horizon and Motorsport. The mainline title.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my.
So I guess it's kind of nice. So like, you get a simulation 1 year and then arcade the next.
It is, but when it gets to a point where they're just like putting new cars into it, like, I mean, that's always the point where putting new cars, but it's gonna get to a point where they're not. It's gonna be like a Madden. So, not yet, but soon. Or they just keep like continuing. It's gonna be like Madden or FIFA, where they just don't add much to it, and we don't want that. Yeah, that would suck. I mean, they're coming out more frequently than Gran Turismo, that's for sure. But
I mean, pretty much anything
else. Yeah.
But
yeah, I do love the Horizon series more than Motorsport. So that's definitely something to check look out for. That's probably the only thing I would play on the Xbox One at the moment.
And so they also showed off the From game that everyone was so sure was Bloodborne 2. instead it's Sekiro Shadows Die Twice.
Naturally.
Which is not going to be a Soulsborne type of game. It's going to be hard, but it's not that type of game. It seems like it's going to be more of a Zelda type of game.
You know what I think this game is going to be? This game is going to be like a B title. This game is going to be like a B action title, like we've seen on PS2, like Bungie and Otagi. It's going to be that.
Oh, no, it totally is. That's From's bread and butter. Like, they're a B tier studio.
No,
not a bad thing.
No, it's
they take risks.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad thing, but I feel like this game is not. This is not their DNA. This is not From's DNA. This is something new for From. I can understand a part two where they upgrade the systems, but. This one is like very, it feels very B tier. Like it, this shouldn't be getting as much hype. Like I feel,
it's getting hype because it's
a From game. It's a From game. Yes. But I feel like a lot of people are hyping this game up to be like spectacular on the level of the Souls games, and they're gonna be very disappointed because it's gonna be nothing like it. And people say, Oh, it's not going to be like Souls. It's perfect, but I think people still expect little elements of Souls, and they're going to be very disappointed in this title. This is me just looking at it, like, just seeing the trailer. You know, I haven't played it yet, but I feel like this is going to be one of those titles that's very deceiving.
I don't think so. I think people are going to, like, the people who like the Souls combat, I think they're going to be okay with it, generally. Not with the fact that you can't upgrade and change your weapons. But it seems like, from like the what I've seen of the trailer, like a lot of the bosses feel very familiar in terms of like how they attack and how they act. So I think that people are going to be okay with that. I think. I mean, obviously, you're going to have people who are like, well, this isn't like Souls. But then again, it's not for them.
And I guess the bigger news is Microsoft buying those five studios. Yes, Microsoft is putting more money into first-party studios, and they ended up buying The Initiatives, Undead Labs, Playground Games, Compulsion Games, and the biggest one on that list is Ninja Theory. So,
well, I think The Initiatives is like a ground up studio.
Yeah. But they're
funding it.
Yeah, these are all going to be their new first party studios, which is great. I love that they're buying studios. I think Ninja Theory is a great pickup for them. Now, here's my here's my peeve about Microsoft buying studios. And it's not about them buying studios. Again, it's fans' expectations on these studios. Yes, they bought these studios. And yes, like Ninja Theory makes good games, I could say. It's just that Ninja Theory is not going to have a game for them ready in the next 2 to 3 years. I expect them to have a game ready when the next Xbox comes out. So this doesn't change anything about Microsoft's first party studio, because we haven't seen anything yet. So I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt, but I love that they did buy those studios, you know, just to get it started, because in 5 years...
They had to do something.
Yeah, they have to start somewhere. And in 5 years, they'll have something. Right now, I know for the life of me, like, I really don't think they're gonna, like, bust something out, like, real, real fast. And a lot of people are expecting them, or a lot of people are now saying Microsoft, first party is looking great. But they still haven't proved themselves, because when Microsoft bought Rare, look at what they have been deduced to now. So, it's wait and see. I love that they bought those studios. I love that they're focusing more on the first party. But it's still wait and see. And still giving them the benefit of the doubt. We have to wait and see what they do with them. So, in the next 4 to 5 years, we shall see if this was the move they needed to make. Or if these studios were the studios that they, you know, were the right studios that they picked.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's going to be something to look forward to. But again, I love that they're building their first party. But again, people, don't expect anything in the next 2 to 3 years. Do not.
I can see, like, maybe a title announcement or something in, like, years. But yeah, we're a ways from, like, anything actually.
So they got those studios, and then they showed off the trailer for Devil May Cry 5. It's happening.
Yes.
It's finally happening, and that was a cool trailer. At first,
go ahead.
Yeah, like for me, at first I was hesitant because of the graphic style, but seeing the gameplay like really got me. I'm like, this is supposed to be the evolution of Devil May Cry, like. Graphically, this is how it's supposed to evolve. And seeing the gameplay work with it, because it's right back to DMC4 gameplay. And, you know, going back to that and not the Devil May Cry reboot. So I was excited and seeing everything just work. So...
yeah, like, I was kind of like, first off, the trailer was like, I don't know, it looks kind of DMC-ish. But I consistently kept watching the trailer and kept seeing more stuff, and I kept getting like, all right, I'm into it. Let's keep going. I'm kind of curious to see where they're going to go for it from here.
Yeah, so Devil May Cry 5 is coming out on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. It was just shown off at the Microsoft, conference.
Yeah, I think people are officially calling them showcases now.
Yeah, Well, Microsoft. Showcase. No, Microsoft's E3 was not a showcase, and
oh, it wasn't.
No. Technically, it wasn't a showcase like Sony's and Nintendo's, and you know this E3, just in general, like my sort of perception of E3 has been different. Like, I don't want surprises. Well, not surprises. I want surprises in my E3, but I don't want them to show me just half-assed trailers anymore. I want to see gameplay, and that's where Sony delivered. Mm-hmm. Because Microsoft's E3 motto was like pretty much, let's just try to just show off every game and not show off enough of the game, because people love surprises, sort of a thing. So yeah, they definitely won that aspect of E3. Their presentation just was fast paced, and it felt like a previous E3s, right? But this year, something changed in me where I want to see more gameplay and stuff, and I got that at, Ubi's, I got that at Bethesda's, and Sony gave me that as well, because Microsoft may have shown me trailers of games, not all exclusive, by the way, they just showed off games after games after games, but they didn't show me enough to make me want them. It was pretty safe. And now I see why Nintendo does Nintendo Direct, and Sony, the way Sony did it this year was the same kind of format, but it was a different, a small different take on how they did it. And they showed off the Last of Us 2. So when they showed off the Last of Us 2, they sort of went for, I guess, an ambient sort of direction with how they were going to show it off. So they had people at this church where, yeah, it was pretty much a church where Ellie is actually in the church in the trailer, and they had the music. I keep forgetting his name, the guitarist.
When he was the banjo guy.
The banjo, yes, the banjo guy, to set off the trailer, to start off the trailer, and it was in the exact same church as, you know, the trailer itself. So, I guess we'll talk about that first.
I will say that it's cool that they showed off like quite a bit of gameplay, some of the story. But yeah, Sony was pretty much up their own ass at this conference.
Yeah, yeah, they definitely were up their own ass. But that's typical Sony fashion, though. Like,
no,
yes,
like I feel like,
yes, it is. It's always Sony always does something that's very pretentious. And a lot of people don't notice it, but they always do it. They always either put a live band, a live orchestra. That's pretty much pretentious in a video game conference, I feel.
I mean, it's just the fact that they had this, like, venue set up just to watch this trailer. Which is fine, like, if it was, like, you know, for their fan event, you know, everyone watches it in this thing. But the fact that they had their... The audience go there, watch the trailer, and then move them back into the
that's the only thing that
there's like a long intermission.
Yeah, there was a long intermission, and it felt like a pre-show, which it was kind of.
And honestly, that whole intermission thing would have made sense if they planned it better. Like if they're like, all right, you know, we just saw that, and then here's some trailers, here's some like upcoming trailers, so it kind of helps segue into it. Instead, you got this really, really awkward, like...
Oh, no, not awkward. Pretentious. It wasn't awkward. They knew what they were doing.
It was awkward because, like, they didn't know how... Like, they didn't really plan how long it would take people to get back into their seats. And so they were, like, trying to stretch for time. And it's like, I don't want to see, like an ESPN type of setup here for video game trailers.
Yeah.
Like, just get to the point.
Well, and when...
And then they started with the Sekiro... I mean, the Ghost of Tsushima gameplay thing with, like, someone playing music again. So it's like...
But, like, when talking... Yes, their presentation was, like, all over the place. But when it got to the actual games, The Last of Us looked pretty freaking amazing.
It does look
great. Yeah, it looks, like, beyond... of what we're used to seeing. Yeah. Like they went up another level. Naughty Dog totally went up another level. Like they're just like so far up that they can't be touched. Everything looked amazing in that trailer that they showed off. And that got me very excited for future games, because this is all done on a PS4 Pro, what they showed off. And their animations were incredible. They even had some people who are animators for movie studios freaking dissect the Last of Us 2 trailer because it was so good. Like, they couldn't believe what they were seeing. So, I found that very, very interesting. But yeah, the presentation pretty much threw everything off. The Ghost of Tsushima was also another interesting thing when they had the, you know, the flute guy playing the flute, and then they showed the trailer. That game looks amazing as well. Like, all these games that they showed off looked great, and they played great. They looked like, well, not played great. I haven't played them, but the gameplay looked top-notch. And
yeah, Ghost of Tsushima looked really, really pretty with, like, all the leaves and stuff, mm-hmm. and, like, the framing. Of some stuff looked really, really nice.
Yeah, it looked very pretty, and it looked playable. And that's what I loved about Sony's conference, that all these games, they showed you enough where they wanted you to ask for more, like, sort of a thing. Like, you know, you're just, like, craving for it. And, so Ghost of Tsushima looks, like, awesome. That was great. I thought that they should have went with the Japanese voice acting, though. Because they did confirm that it is going to have Japanese voice acting. So I thought that they should have done that with subtitles instead of the English voice actors. It probably would have came off a bit better in dubbing. But I thought it looked great. Another thing that they showed off in between their big four games, which was The Last of Us, Ghost of Tsushima, Spider-Man, and Death Stranding, was they showed off Resident Evil 2 remaster. So, and yeah, I saw some new stuff on it just recently. I keep watching the gameplay snippets of it, and I'm like, wow, this thing looks crazy. Just it's everything. I'm sorry, I'm just a little nasally today. Yes, I have a little runny nose, so it's everything you wanted in Resident Evil, or how you imagined it to come out, like, years ago. Like, if they were to ever remake this game, or they ever try to visualize Resident Evil 2 as a movie, that's exactly what you're getting in this remake. It looks so good. Like, it looks top-notch. That's something that they showed off, and I just thought it looked great. I know, Rob, you have a lot of fond memories of Resident Evil 2.
Yes. Yeah. Like, I actually did not expect... I expected, like, a tease for Resident Evil 2. I did not expect it to be this far done in such a short time. And the fact that it's releasing early next year, too, on top of that, is mind-blowing. And from what I've seen, it looks spectacular. Like, I'm literally trying to... Which is weird, because it's a game I've played before, but it's been so long since I've played it. I'm trying to go in blind to the remake. I'm trying not to see as much or any gameplay as I can. I just saw what they showed off at the Sony trailer, or the Sony showcase, and it looks really, really good. Like, visually, like, Leon's looks a little weird, but
I mean, it's young Leon, so
yeah. I'm like, it's fine. I mean, it's fine. Because Chris in Resident Evil 7 looks weird, so it's fine. It's a different interpretation of it. But yes, I'm excitedly waiting for Resident Evil 2. Too many things coming out early next year.
Yeah, and, so they showed off Resident Evil 2, which, again, amazing, amazing trailer. One of the best, I think. So they also showed off Control, which is Remedy's new game, which is very surprising that it would be shown off at a Sony conference as well, being that Remedy has made Alan Wake, and they make a new Quantum Break for the Xbox One. So it's very surprising that they showed it off at a Sony conference, and that looked pretty interesting as well. I know the game features some supernatural elements, and yeah, that's so far, like, that's what we know of it so far. Some supernatural element where the main character is actually the head of this organization called Control. So, and that's the name of the game, Control. So it deals with supernatural events. So I guess similar to Quantum Break, so it's expect something of that nature for Control. And then they showed off Spider-Man, a more in-depth gameplay of Spider-Man, which looks awesome, and I can't stop raving about Spider-Man. It's definitely gonna probably be my game of the year for 2018, that's for sure. And
yeah, it looks really, really good, Spider-Man.
Yeah, and
really good.
It's like the best, I guess, representation of a city ever in a game. The way they capture a dense New York City, it looks phenomenal. And Insomniac actually, you know, developing this, I have 100% faith that this game is going to be just, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be everything any Spider-Man Marvel fan would have want from a game. So that's a definite. And that's their third big game that they showed off for Sony. And the last game, Death Stranding. Which was...
They showed something.
Yes, they always show something of Death Stranding, which is which is just a very, very interesting, so far, it's a walking simulator. So far, we've only seen Norman Reedus walk, but...
And, well, no, this time we saw him carry stuff.
Yes, he carries stuff this time, but... But yeah, definitely check out the trailer. You can watch it on No Pixels. Just, this game is going to be a mindfuck. This game is truly going to be a mindfuck. And what I like so far is that they're showing me just random stuff. It's like not spoiling a movie for yourself. Like, you don't want to spoil a game. And Kojima is practically doing that. We're probably not going to know what the game plays like till like a month before it comes out, which is perfectly fine by me. So, you know, as long as he keeps it a secret, like, you know, for a while, I won't know till the month before. Fine, that's perfectly fine. But it looks like it's gonna deal with some interesting themes. So, yeah, Death Stranding, they finally showed it off, and it was running. That's gonna be something right there. And I think that's practically what Sony showed off in terms of like their big titles. Again, they showed those titles in full. Like, they showed very lengthy gameplay, and that's what I loved about their presentation. That they just, you know, we got to see a lot more of games and how they played and how they're gonna play on our TV instead of trailers. So Sony's conference was. Pretty good. It's just that the way it was presented just was awkward and very pretentious. So I guess we'll move on to Nintendo, because that was the final.
Yep.
That was the final one, and it came in the variety of a Nintendo Direct. So what Sony tried to do but failed miserably.
I don't know if that was Sony's intention.
Oh no, that was definitely their intention. They just wanted to be pretentious about it. So,
I like the direct method, just because it's generally like condensed information.
Me too.
I just didn't like how some things were kind of glossed over. Like, they had like that sizzle reel of like a whole bunch of games coming out. It's like, hold on. Can we see some of those? Can we get more information? And then the last 20 minutes of a 45-minute conference was Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Which I expected Smash Brothers information, but I didn't expect like a full-on blowout.
Yeah, it was a full-on blowout. And they showed everything for Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Just about.
Yes, yeah. Smash Brothers Ultimate is... It's the name of the title, and they gave us a lot of. You gotta want to hear like a more in-depth stuff about Smash Bros. Ultimate. You guys can check out the direct at Dual Pixels, but we'll briefly go over it.
Everyone's back.
Yes, everyone's back. That's their big thing. Every character that's been featured in Smash Bros. Is now back. And that's awesome. That's awesome that everyone's back. And all those clone fighters that were before are now officially called Echo Fighters. We're talking about your Pichus, your Lucina to Marth. So they're all back. Snake is back. So Echo Fighters, again, those clone fighters, we're getting Daisy as an Echo Fighter. And we might get more people as Echo Fighters. They say everyone's back, but we might get more characters as Echo Fighters, which is great. It's adding more characters. And, you know, with slight differences. So that's awesome. Snake.
I don't know who.
Yeah.
Who else they would add in at this point?
I could see Ken being in the game. Fighter. For Ryu.
Who?
Come on, they invented.
Oh, Ken?
Yeah, they invented Clone Fighters.
Yeah, since it's pretty much. Okay, I can see Ken or Akuma.
Yeah.
I kind of want Akuma just because he's in like just about every other crossover. Yeah. I can see him flopping in pretty nicely. But I just don't know who else would be Echo Fighter. And the weird thing is, it doesn't seem like Captain Falcon and Ganondorf are Echo Fighters of each other.
Well,
because it seems like they actually changed up Ganondorf a little bit.
Yeah, more. I would imagine that he would at least have one move from Captain Falcon again. This one move, and they probably just change up everything else. But
I think it's less like the one move, and I think they kind of changed it up a little bit. So it wasn't exactly the same.
But yeah, the Echo Fighters stuff got announced. Also, we got Ridley.
Yes,
Ridley is official. He is a playable character in Smash Bros. Ultimate, so
he looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And he's the only new fighter so far that they have announced, besides the Echo Fighters. Oh yes, Inkling. See, I keep forgetting them. I keep forgetting that they exist.
Yeah, I did too. When they showed off the gameplay trailer and they're going through every character, I was like, oh yeah, Inkling's here.
Yeah, I keep forgetting that they exist. But yeah, so Inkling, Ridley, and I guess we'll probably get like two or three more, and then that's it, because I think from here on out, they're about to hit like 70 characters in the game.
Yeah, I don't see them adding more than maybe at the most.
I mean, yeah, adding more would be great, but I just don't see who else they could add. I mean, they could add like I say, if they're going to add two more characters, I think they should add Captain K. Rool from Donkey Kong. And they should probably add another F-Zero character. You know, just because. Or they could add another Pokemon.
Like, the only other character I kind of want them to add is Simon Belmont. Like, that's it.
Well, that's rumored.
I kind of feel like it makes sense.
Yeah, that's definitely rumored.
Konami, so who knows?
Yeah, but everyone's back, and that's great. Again, that in-depth video shows you like all the changes for the characters, so that's pretty awesome. Another thing Nintendo showed off is Super Mario Party, which I am so excited about. Like, I believe we spoke about this on the last episode, where. You know, they bring Mario. They have to bring Mario Party to Switch, and here we are. Super Mario Party is coming out on the Switch.
And there's no car or whatever it was in the last one.
Yes, yep. It's no more car thing. Everybody taking a turn on the same car. It's back to board game style, which is awesome.
But it looks like they did take some influence from Mario Party Star Rush, because that one had the allies and it had the. Themed blocks, so it seems like they are kind of taking some stuff from a different game, a 3DS game at that, kind of incorporating.
You know, whatever it is,
I'm just glad it's not the stupid car thing.
Yes. I'm just.
I think everybody is.
I'm just glad that Mario Party is coming on the Switch. This is a game I wanted on the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just glad it's there. And they did announce that you can play Mario Party Online, Super Mario Party Online. And
oh, really?
Yes, but they didn't. So in the way that they announced online is that you could play a set of mini games instead of actually playing the board game, which is fine. It's fine by me. I get it. I get why they would do that. Because people could, you know, the board game could take some time online. So I get why they would do that unless they find a better way to make the game shorter. So, they could actually do, like, maybe a five-turn thing, but I like the set of minigames. It actually works great, you know, because that's what you mostly play, I guess, you know. So, I like it. But they did announce that was the way they were doing it. So, that's going to be awesome. Well, they did show off more Pokemon Let's Go, the Pikachu Eevee additions. They did show off more of that. That's also a game which I'm excited for just because it's using Gen 1. So, they did show off that. And they also mentioned Fortnite was available.
Fortnite.
Yay. Surprise. Surprise. Yay. We knew it was coming already. You know, it's been leaked.
Yeah.
So yeah, Nintendo's conference was pretty a direct about Smash Brothers, with a few hints of Mario Party.
Yeah. It was a little disappointing. I expected a little bit more news or announcements, but they also showed off like that one mech game at the beginning, Daemon X Machina.
Yeah. I mean, they did say they weren't going to have stuff that wasn't coming this year, though, right? Didn't they say that?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they're focusing on 2018.
So, I mean, it was fine. I did like all the stuff after, like, the after-show stuff in the actual E3, you know, that week. Because, I mean, they just played various matches of Smash Brothers Ultimate, and they played, you know, a couple matches of Super Mario Party. So it was cool to see that stuff, like, in action.
Yeah, like, the Treehouse whole thing is, like, fantastic.
Yeah, it was so cool. So cool. Those games look good.
Yes, they do.
Oh, one quick final thing. Cyberpunk 2077 is looking amazing.
Yep, my most anticipated game by far.
Would have been mine, but I'm like, it's so far away. I can't get too excited for it.
It's at least 2 years away, and that's like, you know, being conservative.
Well,
it's probably more than
they
that.
They did announce that Cyberpunk is going to be a first-person shooter, which that turns me off. Right away.
See, like at first I was like, eh, but I was like, if I trusted anybody, it'd be them. They're really good storytellers. I know their games have been in third person, but still.
No, I want third person Cyberpunk, and I hope they put the, you know, camera back in, because I think this game started as a third person shooter.
Who knows what this game started as 5 years ago.
Yeah, but I would prefer it being third person. It's just like, I feel like it'd be too good to waste, like, your character, like, model.
I mean, I kind of felt like that, too, but we do have a lot of third-person games out and coming out, so,
We also have a lot of first-person games, kind of like,
We do. But, I mean, how many third-person adventure games do we have?
Yeah. But from what I hear, like, your character's customizable.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you can't name your character. Your character's always is named V. Because all dialogue is voiced.
Yeah.
So, like, and anyone talking to you is going to refer to you as V.
Yeah. And if you did want to hear it, apparently it leaked that somebody recorded the audio from the press showing, so you can listen to it if you want. Whatever that would help you out with, but...
Like, I kind of saw that it was published. I'm like, I don't know if I want to just listen to the audio.
I know. That's how I would
do. I'd be okay with, like, a potato quality video.
Yeah, potato quality, yeah.
With no sound.
Yep.
But, Cyberpunk 2077.
Hopefully at Gamescom they show something to the public. Because they're going to be at Gamescom, so we'll see. Who knows, though?
It's just like a 5-minute like gameplay thing.
Yeah, 5 minutes would be perfectly fine.
I guess since we finished with all the conferences, which one did you guys think was the best conference?
Best conference?
Yes. The best conference of best direct.
I think it's Ubisoft's.
Ubi.
And it's not even really close, to be honest.
Yeah.
Microsoft is like a close two.
No, Microsoft didn't impress me because... The trailer, you know, they didn't show me enough, and I've grown out of seeing trailers. Like, I want to see some gameplay with those trailers. So
I think Ubi just had a nice combination of trailers, gameplay, announcements,
yeah.
Stuff,
like,
in between.
It
flowed pretty well.
Yeah, that's what I want from a conference. So I agree. I say Ubi as well.
All right, what was your the worst conference, you think?
Worst conference. EA's.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I barely saw EA's, but I already got the gist of it.
You didn't miss
doing.
Much.
Yeah, I didn't miss much.
Well, and the thing is, EA's wasn't, like, out and out terrible. It was just everyone else did better than EA.
Yeah. It was just
everything
so, like,
was either
bland.
Like, good amount of announcements and a good amount of like gameplay.
Yeah.
And it wasn't trying to be really stiff and awkward.
Yeah.
So even with Sony's pretentiousness, I think EA's is still.
I think what didn't help them too is their Battlefield 5 reveal a couple weeks before. So everybody was like, oh, we're actually going to see a lot of stuff, and we didn't.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. We're never going to see this game. But
it comes out in November, too, so.
Yeah. Guess we'll find out.
It's true.
And I guess, like, one last thing. What is your most anticipated title? I know we have the article up.
Which you could check out.
Which you could check out at Dual Pixels. We have our most anticipated titles. Mine's with Spider-Man. Obviously, I've been raving about it for months now, so far. So that you can check out a little bit more about that on Dual Pixels. Joey, what was yours?
Cyberpunk. But since we did just talk about it, one of my sleeper hits is Dying Light 2. The first game did extremely well, so I'm interested how the second one's gonna do.
Rob? Yeah, I wasn't expecting an announcement for Dying Light 2 either.
Me neither.
It was nice that they announced it.
Yeah. And they just got somebody on that team. I forget who it is. Chris Avellone? He's designing the story. So. Yeah, apparently the first one sold really well, and it's still being played by a lot of people.
Yes,
so.
Yeah. That's what I see too.
I mean, I think you and I, Rob, we gave it like 8.5s or 9s, right? When we reviewed it like 3 years ago or something.
It was
a while ago.
A pretty good review.
Yeah.
I remember getting a bug where I couldn't finish a quest, but I really should kind of go back to it.
We'll have to co-op it. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, and your most anticipated game is?
Resident Evil 2.
Nice.
Just like I said, Cyberpunk would have been mine, but it feels like it's so far out.
It
I
is
don't
so
get
far
too
out.
Too excited for it right now. I want the game really, really badly, but it's like it's so far out. And then Smash Brothers Ultimate. Like I want to play Smash Brothers Ultimate right now, but it's like, fine. But Resident Evil 2 is like, it is exactly what I want. It's above what I want. I was expecting like, kind of like a Resident Evil 1 remake type of thing. Where it's like, yeah, here's some stuff, you know, all right. But this is, like, pushing it to the limit. And again, so quickly after announcement.
I love that we have, like, a nice variety of different games as our top game. It's a good variety
across the board,
E3 in general. Yeah.
Yep.
A little bit of everything.
I will say, though, I honestly expected more Battle Royale announcements.
I did, too,
to be honest. Yes, I did.
But I think there was only one, and that was in Battlefield 5. Oh yeah, Battlefield 5.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it. Not everyone's like we have to follow this trend.
Well, I feel like they were waiting until to see what Call of Duty revealed during their reveal a couple weeks ago, and they said Battle Royale. So Battlefield's like, all right, we got to say we're doing it too.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sure. Again, like I said, it feels like a Battle Royale mode for a company that big is just like, all right, put it in.
Yeah. I mean, they have pretty big servers in general already, Battlefield 5, so I don't see why it'd be an issue.
Yeah,
another good E3.
Very solid.
Yep, and I guess that's it for the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we could close the floodgates. Remember, I left them open before, so... You could go ahead and close those floodgates, and you could go ahead and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Also, we're going to probably be on Spotify soon, so check us out there as well. But you could find us on iTunes, Google Play Store, and also Stitcher. So definitely check us out, and we'll be back next week, and we'll see you next week.
See you later.
Catch you on the flip side.